Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
As mentioned, we are at the Whiskey Live, and it would only be fair of us to actually revisit some of the conversations we've had with amazing guests. As I walked in today, in a bit of a panic, you can imagine that there were a number of people who are actually here for the Whiskey Live, actively engaging, swirling their wonderful glasses to actually enjoy the various spirits and whiskies that are available. But I also walked past a room that said Masterclass. And tonight we have someone who we literally begged to come back on the show tonight after having a phenomenal conversation with him. If you listened to Kaya Biz just over 2 weeks ago, you might have learned a few interesting nuances about the science of producing whiskey in South Africa. The fact that the higher temperatures in our country actually see a loss in certain percentages, 2 to 3%, if I'm not mistaken, of alcohol from the production of whiskey versus our counterparts in markets like Ireland and Scotland. The fact that it does take years to actually produce a quality malt whiskey. And this is something that we learned from an individual who's been hosting masterclasses here at the Whiskey Live. But beyond that, he himself is a master distiller. He's renowned for actually highlighting and profiling the art of creating whiskey, the business side of whiskey, and of course, fundamentally, the enjoyment too. I'm so happy to have met in person Andy Watts, who is a master distiller of whiskey. Such a pleasure to have you and meet you, sir.
You too, Gugu. Thanks a lot. It's great to be here with you tonight.
We're excited to have you touch base with us. And as you walked in and I saw you again greeting you in the midst of excitement, it's pleasant to actually see you with the whiskey glass, and you just come from a masterclass. But maybe first things first, how have you been finding the Whiskey Live experience and the masterclass that you just hosted?
Well, the Whiskey Live experience, I've still got to get there because our masterclass started half past five, which is before the show started. So I've actually just finished there. I've come now to you, and then from here I'm going to go and experience. But the feedback I've got so far is it's absolutely great inside there.
Fantastic. And given that this is an experience, once again, with South Africans who are shown up in the rain, there's been traffic, but it's a full house. And I recall the last time I spoke to you, commented on the culture of whiskey and appreciation of whiskey in a market like South Africa. Is tonight proof of that yet again?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, this is the 23rd Whiskey Live. I've been fortunate to attend all of them. And they don't disappoint. And I mean, over the last couple of years, since the COVID years, it's obviously been, you know, people were kind of scared to come back into these kind of environments in the beginning. But Whiskey Live have created, you know, an absolutely great space where, you know, everybody can come and everybody can enjoy. And, you know, as long as it's done responsibly, it's going to be a great evening for everybody. Well, a great 3 days, actually.
Yes, a great 3 days, because this continues all the way till the 15th of November, which is this coming Saturday. But let's come a little bit closer to the theme and the subject matter that is close to your heart, essentially running, owning, and of course, contributing to the business side of whiskey. And before you actually get to the masterclass and many of us get to enjoy the experience that you'll be sharing with us, there's a whole journey you must have gone through, right, to prepare for not only tonight, but for the rest of the weekend. Maybe add some context as to what that looks like.
Yeah, it's... Listen, I spent 37 years in corporate life, you know, working with well-known whiskey brands, helping put South Africa onto the world whiskey map. That came to an end in 2021 when I retired, thinking, you know, I'm going to spend more time on my bike now and, you know, enjoy a bit of time with, you know, with my wife and do some mountain biking. And to be perfectly honest, you know, it's the passion doesn't leave you. So I've been, you know, over the last couple of years, putting lots and lots of time and effort into small little passion projects, working with, you know, really well looked after whiskey clubs, which is spreading the educational side of whiskey, working with small craft distillers who, you know, have been probably flying blind for quite a while, not knowing are they doing the right thing, not doing the right thing. So I'm trying to put a little bit back into the industry now, which actually shaped my life. So yeah, it's you know, it's not going to get any it's not going to slow down over the next few years. I'm looking forward to continuing to contribute. And, Yeah, maybe if I can just step back a step or two. But it's not going to be easy because this is my life.
I was about to say, don't go too far. Because when I look at you and I look at your years of history and experience, you have so much to contribute to re-educating us about whiskey. And I say this as someone as well who perhaps, you know, just think of whiskey as a drink that my uncle, my dad, senior relatives and all the brothers would consume. But as you've described, there is a significant change to the consumer dynamic. And that's also a significant shift.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can't get away from the fact that, you know, when I grew up, it was seen as an old male drink.
Yeah. On the rocks if you were a strong man, right?
If you didn't play golf or bowls or you weren't above 55, then, you know, you couldn't drink whiskey. And South Africa has kind of knocked that myth, you know, way out of the park. We're across all demographics. We've got a strong whiskey consumption base between 25 and 45 years old. Mm-hmm. And we've got what absolutely amazing is to me, we've got a really strong and growing female whiskey consumer. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for so many years, it's kind of been something that, you know, females were almost, you know, pushed away from.
And intimidated by.
And intimidated by it, because it's seen as this masculine, rough, you know, drink which is out there where, you know, it's not. It's an inclusive drink. It's something which can be enjoyed by anyone. And it's great to see as well in South Africa that the culture of also that whiskey doesn't have to just be drank neat or on the rocks.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a hot day in Joburg like today, or the Cape where I've also flown up from today as well, with less drama than you, but you know, if you want to mix your whiskey with, you know, something other than water or ice, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Whiskey is an incredibly subjective drink. So if it is a hot day and you want a long glass with lots of ice, a small amount of whiskey, a light styled whiskey with the mix of your choice, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So, you know, I think South Africa is kind of, you know, we don't have these 500 years of tradition which hold us back.
Yes.
We print our own footprints in the sand. We are, you know, deciding what road do we want to go down. And I think that's just, you know, just great for the category.
100%. This is a business show, and the last time we spoke to you, you educated us on a thing or two. We all fundamentally walked away knowing a lot more about running a distillery and, of course, the brands that you've also helped to support and amplify, the likes of Three Ships Whiskey, if I'm not mistaken, in South Africa, in terms of bringing them to the fore. Maybe let's talk about running a distillery. And for many of us, I guess, when we think about the water consumption that's required, you have mentioned the process as well of putting the product into the barrels and, of course, monitoring that process and the aging process as well, and even just the labor, right? Because this is really a science.
Yeah, it's a mixture of science and art. Obviously, you know, if you don't get the science right, then there's no way you can apply the art.
Yes.
You know, there's four bases to score a home run, and the same in whiskey. There's five stages of making whiskey, and each one of them interdepends on the one before or after. So, you know, it's not an easy game. Running a distillery, you know, what a lot of people don't realize, they're on a commercial scale like the James Sedgwick Distillery was, which is still the only commercial distillery on the continent of Africa.
Sure.
Running, you know, an operation like that is 24/7. You know, and I stayed on site for, you know, for the 25 years I managed the distillery. So you kind of go to sleep at night with all the subliminal noises of how a distillery is running, and you wake up not because of a noise, you wake up because a pump has stopped running.
And you notice
the absence of the noise. And, you know, lots of people wonder the next day why you're looking a bit bleary-eyed, but, you know, I always used to say nothing breaks down on a distillery between 9 and 5 on a Monday to Friday. It's always weekends or after hours.
Sounds like the life of a true entrepreneur running an organization, right, that constantly needs your attention. There's something so important that you highlighted, and I think we do celebrate the fact that the James Sedgwick Distillery is the only commercial distillery on the continent. But it also is something that pushes us to actually question financiers, the agricultural industry, maybe even government in terms of their policies, to say, hey, unlock the capital so that we actually have more commercial distilleries that then can contribute to the economy.
Yeah, I think, you know, the James Sedgwick Distillery is definitely an exception, not the rule. It was a part of the Distell Group, which is a really big group with a product portfolio across wines, spirits,
ciders,
beer.
If I'm not mistaken, they got bought out by Heineken.
That's
a few
correct.
Years ago.
Yeah. So I mean, even a bigger, you know, a bigger company now is in charge, and you know, so there's never really been a shortage of looking for, you know, for money to help me make South African whiskey as good as we managed to get it to be. You know, for the smaller guys who are starting up now, obviously, you know, that sort of capital isn't available. So everything, it is happening out there, but it's happening on a much, much, much smaller scale. And one of the, you know, the businesses I'm involved in now are really, you know, something which has stolen my heart is this Metanoia distillery just outside of Barrydale. And, you know, if I look at Kenny, the guy who had the dream there, you know, it really is a kind of a one man and his, you know, staff who stay on the farm, who help to keep this distillery running on top of farming, on top of everything else they're doing. And you know, the fact that it's like that means that you can never really be commercial because you just don't have that financial backing.
I understand. Mm. But we never know who's listening. This is a show that actually speaks to financiers in government, in development finance institutions, players in private equity, even leaders on capital markets. So I'm quite keen to say, you know, what does it take to unlock capital? And are there estimates and figures that we can share? You know, South Africa also has a very strong stockfell culture. So depending around the attendees who are here, I think we could all just club in some money and form up our own investment club for...
Listen, joking aside, I actually did approach Heineken and said, listen, can I buy it?
Really? Mr. What?
I don't think they took me seriously. You know, we've had these sort of conversations. You know, Kenny comes out of that market. Kenny Skippers, who's the owner of Metanoia, was a very successful oil trader, you know, operating with Morgan and Stanley and companies like that. So he's got all that experience. I think at this stage, Kenny is looking to establish his brand. But I'm sure going forward, you know, we have spoken to one or two people about, you know, what is the potential going forward? You know, how big can we go without, you know, putting everything at risk, and we've seen at the moment, you know, in worldwide terms, whiskey at the moment is in a little bit of a crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, the sales are not growing like they were 10 years ago. The new generation of younger people coming through are drinking less.
Yes. Or a preference for zero.
Preference for zero alcohol as well. I mean,
is that something that's possible with whiskey at all?
Well, it wouldn't be whiskey if that was the case. You know, you could make a zero alcohol spirit, but you know, you couldn't make something which is whiskey as a certain legislation behind it.
Got you.
So you can't put whiskey on. You know, I mean, we had a cider which came out with a kind of a whiskey twist to it.
But
you couldn't mention the word whiskey because, you know, whiskey can only be mentioned if it is, you know, fulfills a specific legislation.
Interesting. Interesting you say that. I'm tempted to say the name of that brand, but perhaps I won't today. But completely understood on that one. And as you say, there's a shift in terms of the consumption trends. There's a shift as well in terms of the financing needs and heightened calls as well for entrepreneurs to come on board and meet finances too. Is there an opportunity as well for increased South African brands? As we've mentioned, we've got the likes of Three Ships, Metanoia. Can we see the development of others?
Listen, there are quite a few out there. But again, it's, you know, I think it is this, you're flying under the radar, you know, to get a capital injection, you know, what do you offer those investors? You know, are you going to give them something which they're happy to, you know, to work with, or do they want you to get bigger and they want you to expand? And, you know, that's not all possible when you're out in the middle of the Klein Karoo and, you know, you're totally off the grid. You know, Kenny has created a regenerative permaculture farm where the distillery is actually his passion. But it is a you know, a passion which I think has got a lot of promise.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be helping him.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there are more people like Metanoia out there. And, you know, within ourselves as a small group of these craft distillers, we do know each other, we do talk to each other. But, you know, I think there's... You know, a few of them have got to make that leap to kind of be ingrained to glass.
Got you.
And not just, you know, purchasing whiskey and then bottling it under a label and calling it their whiskey. I think there's got to be transparency, there's got to be tangibility. There's, you know, to be really a craft distiller, you've got to be doing the hard yards.
Got you. This is a question that is unique to our audience because we know we live in a very diverse economy in South Africa, but are there black whiskey distillers in South Africa or participants in the whiskey distilling space?
Yes, definitely. Within, you know, within the distill, which is now the Heineken, which I came from.
Yes.
Yeah, no. More than 90% of the staff which I had were female or black, male.
Female as well?
Yeah.
Look at you driving the transformation agenda.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's key females out there in the world of whiskey and spirits. One of the ladies who I took under my mentorship at the James Sedgwick Distillery left us and joined the KWV as one of their now top viticulturists and brandy advisors for them.
Sure.
Ursula Lanier, Marlene Bester, who manages the Van Rijn Distillery, brandy distillery, also worked under my mentorship at the James Sedgwick Distillery. Worked with incredible, innovative, the scientific side of the business with Mara-Lou Prinsloo, who still heads up now Heineken's new innovation department. So there are a lot of females and excellent females out there in this industry.
That's phenomenal. Oh, Mr. Watts, I could talk to you for hours on end, as you can tell, and my team is telling me, wind it up. We have ads. But very briefly, for anyone who's joining at the masterclass, what are the top three things we should expect or prepare for?
I think in the masterclasses, you know, be prepared to listen, to learn, and understand that, you know, none of us know everything.
Yes.
So don't be afraid to ask questions. And the big thing is enjoy it, but enjoy it responsibly, and make sure you all get home safely.
Yes, enjoy it responsibly. So yes, we certainly encourage responsible consumption of alcohol, not for anyone under the age of 18. And of course, do ensure that you don't drink and drive. Mr. Andy Watts, inducted into the Whiskey Hall of Fame. He is a clear master distiller who has received heightened levels of recognition and also runs one of the only commercial distilleries, whiskey distilleries, that is in South Africa. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. That's Andy Watts of the James Sedgwick Distillery. A great pleasure to meet you, to speak to you again, and hopefully I'll be attending your masterclass later.
It was, I've retired from the James Sedgwick Distillery.
Oh, yes,
now.
You were there.
Yeah. Now, there's the new team, a very highly talented team there. I've got my own little business now, which is offering advice to other people, including Metanoia.
Got you. Anyone looking to open up a whiskey distillery, you know who to call. Mr. Andy Watts. For the moment, though, it is 35 minutes after 7 o'clock. You are listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. We're coming to you live from the Whiskey Live Festival happening here at the Galleria. We've been talking about it for weeks on end, and it's finally happening. So do be sure to keep listening. Share your thoughts, comments, and feedback on our WhatsApp voice note line, too.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.